I grind for the love of the game. Took the recording equipment back out the garage. We grind for the love of the game. Early season performances. Material or mirage?
The question there is that a NBA shower curtain behind you, by the way. I just noticing that
it's bedroom affiliated. It's like a curtain. It's an old vintage, like from the late 70s. You got a bunch of basketball logos for the YouTube viewer, you can see it, but look at, like, the Kings logo. You can really, the Pacers logo, the Knickerbockers logo, that's how you know it's the Bucks logo. Bullets. Is a deer with a basketball. It was a gift from my friend Todd's wife, Eva. Shout out Eva Webb. Yeah, I've always wanted to get it back behind on the next to the exposed brick. So today we just jammed it in.
Oh, that's solid. Yeah, that's definitely worth some cash.
Priceless to me. And it was a gift. So pays to have a buddy whose wife is like an eBay, like vintage hoarder, and just has boxes full of stuff. But she was just like, you can have this. She thought of me. So.
Shout out to her.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyways, it's been a long time, so let's acknowledge that Nate and I have just had trouble finding time, and the season snuck up on us, so we didn't get to a lot of preseason content, but we're here for the in-season content, and we're going to roll out kind of it's like a new take on an old theme, Nate. So let's go ahead and explain the material or mirage concept, and I think that would be better coming from you. I like your ability to explain things. You know, me, I'm not really creative, so.
Well, I do think that my favorite topic that we've done in years past has been the Party or Panic podcast. And so this is kind of an offshoot of that. And so we're just kind of looking as you're kind of about 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks into the season. There's a lot of false information out there. It's a small sample size alert here. And so we're kind of want to take a chance to look at some of these players and see, all right, is this really something? Is there something here? Or are we just seeing a couple bad games or a couple amazing games, and kind of going to examine a few players here and then kind of give our stamp on these guys.
Exactly. This is small sample size theater is a good way to put it. Just looking at some players and wanting to examine, like, also actionable information. Like, is this something I can bank on? Should I try to sell this player high? Should I ride it out? Do I have a diamond in the rough, or is there something that should indicate that this could change? So we'll jump right in with one of my favorite players, probably to watch in the NBA. We're going to start with Jeremy Sochan. This is his age 21 season. It's his third NBA campaign for the Spurs. His ADP on Yahoo is 142. He has per game rank of 117. His totals are 114. He's if you punt free throws and turnovers, to get him to 87th, still think that kind of sells him a bit short. He's 64% rostered. So just hit you with the raw numbers because I can't help myself. So far you're getting from Sochan 17.3 points, 8.5 rebounds, 3.3 dimes, a steal, half a block, 68% from the line. So again, you want to be punting those, 50% from the field. We talked a lot about, Nate, you know, the Spurs needing to get a table setter in there for Wemby. So bringing in Chris Paul, who has been playing out of his mind, by the way, seems to have helped Sochan more than pretty much anybody. You know, there's the point Sochan experiment last year. It was a fun novelty. But that failed experiment might have actually sunk his draft stock to a point where he was fully asleep on the board. I was able to pick him up after our draft, you know, just because I had a guy to slide into the aisle plus spot. And so I think a lot of people just kind of rolled the dice on him. And you may have had a hit here. You know, he's a natural power forward with some point forward skills. You know, I think he could just be scratching the surface of his true potential. I think the question is, Nate, and I'll kick it to you on your opinion on this, is Devin Vassell coming back into the fold will be interesting. But I think his fantasy profile is so diverse that he can help you in so many ways. I'm not too worried. So my rating here, and this is a surprise to you, Nate, I'm going to go, is it material or mirage? I'm going material. Confidence level, 4 out of 5 on Jeremy Sochan.
4 out of 5. Well, that's strong. I last season, having the point guard duties running through him, I thought was going to be great for his long-term development, even though it clearly was a failed experiment, like you referenced. just getting those repetitions in a live game for a full season, I think is going to really pay dividends. And we're seeing that a little bit this season. You know, he hasn't had much of the passing numbers. That's kind of hasn't been there. But what has been encouraging is that he's starting to get some of those defensive numbers into his game a little bit, which was really what was hurting him last year. It's just that he profiled to me as a guy who should at least be a 1-1 steals and blocks, and he wasn't there. So this season, yeah, I've been noticing it. It's been fun to see, and hopefully some of those defensive numbers are kind of sticky, because I love the player.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, getting 3.1 out of position assists now that Chris Paul's in tow, I'll take that. But taking that responsibility, I think it's kind of like throwing the baby into the pool. And, you know, last season, as if you will, as a point guard, and getting those really intense reps, I think now that he's in this position where he can thrive because he feels comfortable in his role. So sometimes when you're uncomfortable, when you find the right space, whether it be on the basketball court or in life, you really know how comfortable you are. So Jeremy Sochan, a man that seems comfortable in those short shorts with those thigh tats.
Dang, that's a great way to put it. I like that. So you were talking about kind of throwing somebody into the deep end of the pool. And so I said we just kind of stick with that and just go directly to Jordan Poole.
Oh, wow. Nice. Got you.
Jordan Poole, ADP of 85.
Your boy.
I had him 44 on my personal rankings. Jordan Poole is currently the number 6 player in per game value in fantasy basketball.
It's true.
Just going to let that breathe just for a second there. Buyer emojis. I don't know if you can cue that up for the YouTube audience there.
Yeah, let's get some reactions going.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he's been spectacular so far. I mean, 22 points, 5.5 assists, 4.4 threes, and then a super reliable, and it's not going to change, league-leading 2.8 steals per game. You can kind of
it's not going to change. So let's slow you down.
No,
so you're predicting Jordan Poole leads the NBA in steals.
Yes, I am.
You are okay. Number one.
Yep.
Not top five. We're going one. This is up there with my Reed Sheppard top 10 in the NBA in assists. Well, at least he's in the mix. But I'm just gonna bring that up right now.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna unpack this a little bit more here. The reason that I think these are all super sticky is he's only playing 30 minutes a game. What happens when he goes up to 34? These numbers could only go up from here. You know, I think.
Okay. I'm going to throw a log into the punch.
That's a little tongue in cheek here.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a log into the pool here. Bub Carrington. I feel like his usage, I mean, he's really been coming on. He had a really nice line tonight. We're recording the night before the election, November 4th. We should probably throw that out there. So make sure I hope you voted. Not to get political, don't want to get political, but no, Bob Carrington, I think his usage. I would be surprised if Jordan Poole's minutes are gonna balloon up as the season goes along, as they give this guy more reps. But man, what a hit! So golf clap to you, Licky, for sticking with your boy there. I think you got him for $6 on our league record auction. Good work. And yeah, he's been a smash. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of these things. Some of these numbers are outliers. They're bound to come down. Those steal numbers, obviously, are way above and beyond what anybody else is going to get. Also, his 3-point shooting, he's shooting 8.6 shots a game from behind the arc, and he's hitting him at a 51% clip. So when that comes down,
a little regression
you're going to get some regression. Because his usage has really just been in line with what he's had the last few years. So it's not like all of a sudden he's become this 37% usage guy. So he's going to come back down to earth. Yep. But I think it was just for a moment, I just wanted to do the pool check-in and say this is definitely material here.
Yeah. What would you give it out of 5 as far as believing it will sustain at this level?
Probably a 6, I guess.
There's no 6 available. Yeah, you can't buy a vowel, but... I do want to point out, you brought something up, just the casual eye, you know, when you're cruising through and taking a look at players and how they're doing, just remember to check in on percentages, because if somebody's percentage is outlier high compared to what they've done in the past, then naturally that rank will come down. So I know Josh Lloyd talks a lot about this, but I wanted to bring it up. There's a lot of these players, what you may find is maybe they are shooting a career best, or there's a bit of an outliery feel to some of their shooting numbers. So make sure you're looking at that.
Or even at this point of the season, one game can often skew somebody's rankings by a lot too. So.
Exactly. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get to a player who's he's just playing out of his mind. And not to give any spoilers, but we're going to talk about the German assassin Dennis Schroeder. Olympic legend Dennis Schroeder. Again, talking, looking too much into Olympic performances, I think, is silly. There's some concern about his performance, I think. So he's 31 years of age, Dennis Schroeder. This is his 12th season in the NBA. His ADP was 140 on Yahoo. His per game ranks so far in the season, number 10. That's a first round player. His totals, 24. He's only 75% rostered, which shows that at least 25% of leagues are dead. Not exactly when most breakouts happen, obviously, age 31 season. There was a slight foreshadowing in his 29 games with Brooklyn last season after coming over from Toronto. He averaged 14.6 points, six dimes, 3.5 boards last season. So seems like the Nets can probably drop enough games like he was Schroeder having a career year. So I'm not too concerned with the, well, they're a tanking team. Well, Dennis Schroeder putting up all-star caliber numbers, that's a tank weapon. That's a classic tank weapon alert. So I'm going to go material here on Schroeder. My confidence level is 3.5 out of 5. So here's the caveat. I think top 50 to 75 range rest of season feels more practical, but it's still a huge hit for your roster. So enjoy the ride. I think it's really hard to sell this sort of player high. You have someone in their 30s on a tanking team. People are always concerned about that. Having an outlier season, regardless of if you think it's real or not, it's outlier. So I don't know if you can sell that high. So just enjoy it till the wheels fall off if they ever do. But Dennis Schroeder, I mean, he seems ready to seize the moment. Like you, how surprised have you been? I mean, did you give him a sniff that he was even in your queue come draft time? Or what are you thinking about it?
Yeah, so he's on my roster on our joint on our teams here, but
Shame on me.
I had him as like one of these late round picks. I liked what he was going to maybe be able to bring. I clearly nobody saw this coming, and I think some of it is has been the shooting is what's really the outlier. You know, I think what I think maybe is going to stick around is these points and assists. And so I think if that's something that you need on your team, it's a great player to target right now because you might have somebody just looking to just
To
sell
get
high
anything, to
and
get anything, right? That they're thinking this is going to evaporate. Give me insert, low PJ Washington, someone like that. I would definitely trade PJ Washington for Dennis Schroeder.
And I think that could be there could be a win-win opportunity there because the minutes, like you mentioned, are I think going to stay because I don't see Ben Simmons beating him out for this. And so I think that that position is him, especially because he's that table setter type guy. So I think, you know, if you have the mindset that the percentages are going to come down, the 3-point shooting is going to come back down to earth a little bit, back to what he has done for most of his career. I mean, for his career, he's like one and a half threes per game guy, and right now he's giving you a three and a half. So with that in mind, I think that there is it's definitely material. I think I loved your assessment there as a just outside the top 50 type player, but it's such a great like gem find there.
Exactly. So to point out, like you said, he's shooting 51% from the field. Last season, he shot 43, which is really in line with what he usually does. So you're going to get some regression. But again, I don't, like Nate pointed out, I don't think the regression will be sharp enough that you're going to be able to find value in a trade, unless if you're the person receiving him and somebody just thinks they want to trade him before he turns into a pumpkin, which we don't see happening. So Dennis Schroeder, shout out, man. I think it's if you, I know you're a big fan of the pod, so I just want to say we always believed in you. So I'm glad you got your chance. And
To
one
you.
last thing, Nate, before you get your next player. Literally, when so the Nets had signed King Killian Hayes, and I was like, oh, this is sneaky. Like, this is cute, deep league alert. And once they cut him, I was like, dang, that's when I knew it could be like I was excited for Killian Hayes in Brooklyn. That's an ultimate tank weapon. Schroeder might be too good. They're gonna win at least 15 games.
The Detroit Pistons could definitely attest to that tanking ability.
Yes, no doubt.
So my next player here is Jonathan Kuminga,
The
whose
cum bucket.
ADP, his ADP was 91. He was on a lot of people's preseason sleeper lists. His current rank is 217 with an 84% rostered rate. So he just the breakout is not has not happened at this point. In fact, it's been pretty bad to date. He's only averaging 23 and a half minutes per game.
Yeah.
And that's a mix of three starts, three benches. And when he's coming off the bench, he's actually playing a little bit more, about three extra minutes a night. Some of that could be Curry being out. But it's been a surprise, because especially with Curry not on the floor, what they really needed was his party ability, was his ability to score, soak up that usage. But instead, what we've seen is 13 points, four boards.
So boring.
25% behind the arc, 44% in general. So it's a little bit of panic time, I feel like, with Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, all I could think about that whole time is just like my mind trying to deal with every Warriors box score. Like just looking at it and just trying to siphon information is exhausting. I would say the Warriors and the Grizzlies are the two teams it's going to be hardest to pinpoint what to expect. And then I realized I've been so fantasy focused. And I don't have a team until the Sonics come back. We're getting there. So I hadn't really looked at the standings today in preparation. I just figured I'd take a peek. How are the Warriors 5-1?
5-1.
And I think they won tonight too, if I'm not mistaken. I have no idea how that's happening. Obviously, Steve Kerr's 10 to 12 man rotation idea, in real life is, he's balancing it out quite well. But I don't see how Kuminga is going to get anywhere near what you paid for him. He's looking like a bust. So I'm guessing you're going Mirage. Or no, this would be material that he is looking like a bust. See, I got twisted by our own prompt. But yeah, do you see a way he could get out of this?
I'm not in the short term. I mean, obviously Golden State was pretty invested in him. He turned down that extension, so he really had all the incentive in the world to kind of go out there and show what he can do. I think at this point it just isn't there. I think barring a trade, which they may very well do. I mean, I think that's going to be the best source for him, is kind of if he can get onto a new team, get onto the Jazz or whoever, then maybe he can do that. But in the meantime, the surprising player that's been crushing it for the Warriors has been Buddy Hield out of nowhere.
Like, all on the back of insane shooting. Okay, so this is what I want to point out about Kuminga. I think one of the most painful players to roster in fantasy, and we've all done it, is the player that is underperforming to the point where it's bringing down your roster, but because of the combination of what you paid for him, and especially with a player like Kuminga, who's young, it's so hard to let go of them. In a typical 12-team roster, how long do you hold on to Kuminga if the production just flatlines? It's just staying right where we are at now. Say we're there in 2 weeks. You would recommend to the people to hold, or could we move on and stream that spot?
No, I think you have to give it. So Curry's coming back here. I think maybe he even played tonight. I would give it another five games. And if you don't see anything, I think that at this point of the season, especially with so many intriguing options about to be drying up on free agency, I think you have to move on if you haven't seen anything within the next five games.
Right. To your point, it's all relative to what your waiver wire looks like. Obviously, if it's bare bones, then maybe hold on a little longer. But okay, so let's stick with messy rotations, Natron Clean. Let's hop over to Memphis and let's talk about your boy, Santi Aldama. This is his age 23, 24 season. He'll turn 24 later. It's his fourth NBA campaign. He did not qualify for a Yahoo ADP. His per game rank is 35th. His totals.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's mind blowing. Totals 68th, 47% rostered. Pretty low. So on Aldama, I would personally be surprised if he begins providing consistent production, because his profile has always been very boom bust. Just take his first five games, just in the scoring column. He had 27 points, 2 points, 22 points, 11 points, and 2 points. Like we were saying with the Warriors, the rotation in Memphis, I think, is going to remain frustrating and consistent. It's not only brimming with young talent like Scottie Pippen, Huff, like all kinds of rotation players popping up. Then you still have Vince Williams Jr., G.G. Jackson, who haven't played yet this season. So it's only going to get more crowded as the season goes along, barring injury. I like pairing Aldama on JJJ teams. And don't get me wrong, I think he's a hold in 12-teamers. But if someone's like Aldama happy, I would definitely sell high if someone's buying. So I'm going to go Santi Aldama, Mirage, relative to his hot start. Confidence level 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's I in 100% lockstep with you here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Love the player.
Yeah.
The thing that's been surprising to me that gives me only a little bit of pause on the Mirage comment is just that his minutes have been so strong all season.
True. Even
Where the
today with
last,
JJJ playing, he got his minutes.
yeah, and that's been a little untypical of how
Okay.
the last how they've done the big man rotation the last couple of years, where they've kind of sprinkled in a lot of, they just like to play four guys at those two spots and play them all like in minutes in the low 20s. And so that's the one thing that's been a little surprising. He's averaging 30 minutes a night at this point. But I do agree with you on the Mirage thing because some of it has been a little bit of hot shooting right from the beginning. I think some of it is Brandon Clark working his way back from the Achilles injury.
Right.
And I'm hopeful that, you get a couple more games in there. Brandon Clark's minutes have been down into teens. And so I think that as his kind of come back up into the 20s, that's going to, Aldama's kind of going to be the natural guy to kind of take a little bit of a minutes loss there. And so I agree. He's a hold. He's shooting amazing right now. You ride it. But at the same time, when it dries up, it's totally okay to move on.
Yeah, exactly. We can get attached to these early starts and it's hard to let go. So that's a good actionable piece of advice. To your point, Licky, so he coming into tonight, 7 games played, had not missed a free throw. Only 1.1 per game, but he shot 62% last season on 1.4 attempts. Nothing screams outlier more than a low volume, like perfect from the free throw line start. So just bear that in mind when you're looking at the rankings. And he's a classic player to throw in a 2-for-1 and try to go get a big fish. Because his ranking looks good and depends who you have in your league. So I do like using players like Aldama in 2-for-1s. Not that it's going to work in our league after I just said that. But you know what I mean? He's a good sweetener. He's a classic sweetener.
I like that.
So.
So the next one I have up here is definitely a Mirage. I'm just gonna lead
Oh,
off with that.
giving it
And
away. Okay.
I'm giving it away. And that's big coffee. That's corporate coffee,
Give it
is the
away, give it
Mirage.
away, give it away
And the
now.
and really, the material is Steelbridge Coffee. So
Nice.
go ahead, go over and check out steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ. You're talking here locally roasted. This is fair trade organic coffee. It's premium coffee that gets delivered to your door. You have 4 pounds of it with a vintage basketball card in prime condition, and it all is for the same price, if not cheaper, than corporate coffee out there. So go over and check out steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ and tell them that the guys from here sent you. But
I have goosebumps, Licky. I just want to acknowledge my goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, he's just coming right out with it being a mirage. I was like, I don't like this.
yeah, right. There's no suspense, Eric.
Come on, man. We already told each other some of our players. So, okay. A shout out, Steelbridge Coffee.
No.
Fantastic read.
My next one, I'm going to need your help on because this is the one that I have written down, and I don't have an opinion yet on Material Mirage. So I'm hoping that you're going to help me out with this. So that's Grady Dick. And
Grade A Dick.
so,
Yes, I know, man. Yeah, this will require a discussion. I'm very tepid.
yeah, so he's currently your number 31 player in fantasy at the
Oh,
moment.
Jesus.
Yeah, so the so last year's number 13 pick out of Kansas is giving you 21 points for the Raptors. I mean, and his shooting is just blazing right now. I mean, 92% from the stripe. He's hitting 3.3 threes per game. He's really kind of looking like the player that they wanted him to be last year and
Yeah.
kind of hoped that he was going to be. So the team stinks. And so they're really
So bad.
committed to the development. And so I think that even when Quickly and Barnes and these
Yeah.
guys kind of Bruce Brown to a lesser extent kind of come back,
Forgot
I
Bruce
still
Brown
think
was
they're
on the
going to
roster.
be,
Forgot. That's
he's gonna
bad.
get some minutes there,
Yeah.
but I still think they're committed to his development, and I think he's shown enough to kind of keep those high minutes up. The thing that makes me a little nervous with him is that he doesn't give you a very well-rounded like profile. So he's giving you really strong threes, three throw
Yeah.
percentage scoring, but there isn't much there else in that he's averaging just under 3 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game, 1.2 steals. So my initial thought is is Raditz, and it's going to be, he's probably a season long hold, but I don't feel my, I guess I'm going to say material with a 2 out of 5 confidence level.
Interesting. So you're recommending to ride Dick. I'm just glad Dick's not shooting blanks this year, honestly. But no, he's a tough player to assess. The first thing came to mind is as a Scotty Barnes apologist, truther, stan, whatever you want to call me. I do think that his numbers were better, but I think they were still high-end role player, potentially like a high-end streamer. And so with the guys that we have out, you know, and Obagi, by the way, shout out Obagi, he's been playing very well in Toronto. But with Scotty Barnes out, quickly hasn't played yet. I think what you'll find is you probably have a high-end streamer / potential glue guy on your team. Shout out Glue Guys. Can't wait to get those started this year for Glue Guys 4.0. So preview pod. I think Grady Dick is a player for me that if he's going to be overvalued by somebody, I'd like to use him as a sweetener. But he's really popped. He looks better. He looks just more athletic, more confident. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. I'm interested in his development as a player too. But for some reason, I've been slow to come around that he's anything more than a high-end point streamer. But the numbers are saying otherwise. The opportunity says otherwise. I think saying 2.5 confidence on material makes sense to me because I can't call this a mirage, but my confidence level's around 2.5. So I like that. I like that assessment on Dick.
Yeah, I think there's going to be dry spells with him. I think when his shot's off, he's going to become that guy that is going to be kind of dragging down your team a little bit. He almost seems like a better version of Gary Trent Jr. Was for him last year.
Yeah.
So, But you're talking about his athleticism. I have been surprised on how often he's been able to get to the line. So he's been getting to the line 3.5-4 times a game. So that part seems pretty sustainable.
Right.
Before we move on to the next player, I do want to just play a little micro game with you here. Just a little micro draft. So looking at kind of this Grady Dick fits in here because it's kind of these emerging guard draft. So guys kind of getting their first real opportunities. Rank these four players: Grady Dick, Christian Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Jaden Ivey.
Are we talking pedigree as an NBA player, like who I think could be the best player, or like rest of season fantasy potential?
Rest of season fantasy potential.
Man, that's tough. Ivey is just so inefficient, and on high volume, it can kill you, but he has the highest week-to-week ceiling. I'm going to think these through. Christian Brown seems like, I always still say Christian Braun. That's what they said in college. Apparently it's Brown. Apparently it's Brown. By the way, good call on him on the ADP show we did this summer. He looks like he's ready to step into the role that was vacated by KCP. I feel very solid about him as a glue guy. I'm very solid that he's a hold. Then Grady Dick, he's probably the lowest on the list for me. Who was the fourth player?
Peyton Pritchard.
Right. Man, Pritchard's really... So with Pritchard, you have a player who is a glue guy, end of your roster guy now. And if any of the Boston guys miss any time, I mean, we have Jaylen Brown out today for like a hip pointer. Those can linger a little bit. Dyson Daniels, who we'll get to, just had one for a couple games. He's a hold. I mean, he's a hold. Like I would love to have Peyton Pritchard on my roster. So I'm going to have to say
top 30 player at the moment.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Pritchard one. And then personally, I'd probably rather have Christian Brown on my most teams than Ivy. Points league, it's easily Ivy. And then it's Pritchard.
Agreed.
And then Brown and then Dick. Honestly, I mean, yeah, they're just all for different profiles. But I think Ivy, highest week-to-week upside. Peyton Pritchard, highest ceiling to be a top 25 player if things break right. That's in his range of outcomes. Unlikely, but he can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if he ends up in a 35-minute-a-night role for any stretch of time, look out. Christian Brown, glue guy, hold. Don't think you're going to drop him. Grady Dick, most likely to be a dick. I mean, to be a drop.
Yeah, to be a soft Peter, I agree.
Be a soft Peter, yeah. That was a good one. I liked that. So we'll jump into the next player I alluded to, Nate. So speaking of players in the top two in the NBA in steals, let's get to Dyson Daniels, currently second in the NBA in steals. Top five seems more realistic than Jordan Poole, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. We both love the player. So Dyson Daniels, age 21, 22 season. It's his third campaign. An ADP of 144 on Yahoo, if you see a theme, a lot of 140 ADP smashing through on the players I picked for today. Per game ranks 46, totals 82nd. He's 55% rostered. I do want to say he's surprisingly tall. He's 6'7", lucky, but he has a 6'10.5" wingspan, which I thought was notable. And we knew he's a ball hawk. And watching games in New Orleans in person last season, every time he was on the floor, he just looked like he could suffocate the lead ball handler. I mean, he is so long, so I had to look it up, and he is long. So perfect backcourt partner for Trae Young. So I think we both loved it when he signed, when he got traded there. So you love to see a young fantasy-friendly player like this thrust into that kind of big opportunity, man, and he's been ready to take advantage. Mentioned the two games he missed with the hit pointer, but he's back already. I think his role as a starting off guard feels as firm as 8-minute abs. Shout out VHSs in the 80s. I'm going material here. I think hold and don't let go. My confidence level is a 5 out of 5 on Dyson Daniels.
Wow. 5 out of 5. That's amazing.
5 out of 5.
I feel like the real life fit has been kind of what they were hoping to get with Murray last year, in that the, as far as on the defensive side, which is really what they need. Because like Trae Young is an offense unto himself. He doesn't need that much assist levels or a help on that end, but it's
you
the
have to let him be too
covering up.
Licky, you have to let him be an offensive vacuum. If you're going to build your team that way, you have to build around him. You can't have a guy who's going to take off his plate as a lead ball handler like Murray did. So I love what you're saying.
Yeah, the 5 out of 5, the things that give me a little bit of pause with him is that it's just kind of the offensive numbers. You know, if those, I mean, if those, that steals numbers come down a little bit, you know, because you see sometimes like elite defensive players don't always lead the league in steals. And so I could see him being totally elite all season. And then that 2.4 drifts down to a 1.5 or a 1.7, you know, really, really strong numbers, but you know, not kind of the outliers that the only thing that makes me a little nervous is that I'm wondering if the offense can be enough to kind of sustain that. I'm almost wondering if we're looking at the second year of Jalen Suggs a little bit.
That's a great comp. That's good.
I really love the player. I think that he's going to be great. I totally agree. He is without a doubt a season long hold.
Right.
But I kind of just wonder if he's going to be a little bit more of a specialist than a top 50, top 70 player.
That's really well thought out and well measured. The reason I love the Suggs year two comparison is I think we were both a little earlier on Jalen Suggs that, hey man, it's kind of a bumpy ride. There's some categories he might hurt you a little bit in, but I don't want to drop him. Like, I just don't want to drop him. I think we both felt pretty strongly about Suggs. Just the boost he was going to give you in the areas he was helping you, mainly steals and just chipping in across the board. He was already doing before he had this crazy breakout. We may get to him. So I like what you said there. I think when I say 5 out of 5, I'm just looking for a top 75 player. I mean, somebody who's going to anchor my steals category a bit, going to chip in across the board. And, you know, per season averages, if he's going to give me, he's 13.4 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 2.4 steals is outliery. So is the 37.5 he's shooting from the line. I don't think he's going to be that bad.
Fair point. Fair point.
But you're right. I mean, hashtag basketball, for instance, they have this really cool feature. They have like a fantasy profile for each player, and their projections for Dyson Daniels bring him down to 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3.1 dimes, 1.6 steals, which you mentioned, and just over 3 a game and just under a block a game. No turnovers. Percentage is pretty decent. You know, 65% from the line is not great. It's low volume. So I just think what you found is a glue guy with benefits that's occasionally going to spike in columns that you don't need him to because you didn't build your team that way. He's a bonus. He's icing.
Yeah, no, I love it. And in the fact that, as you mentioned, I mean, he's such a young player that really you could see progression throughout the season, and he could be actually the best version of himself come playoff time.
Word. Right on. All right, let's move forward.
Yeah, so moving on to another player that is typically in that category for leading the league in steals. This one's OG Anunoby. And so ADP of 80, current rank of 128. I think, so this season he's averaging 13, 3.5 boards, 2.4 assists, 1.6 threes, and 1.6 steals as well. So longtime listeners know I'm a huge fan of OG Anunoby. I've loved him since Indiana. I'm a big fan of his game in real life. But I think what we're seeing right now in New York is a much better real life player than a fantasy player. He's averaging the lowest points per game and rebounds per game in 5 years. And this is all on a career high minutes per game. So I think he's a great player in real life, but he's obviously the fourth player in the pecking order on offense. So he's just kind of a true 3-and-D player, which is awesome. But I think that there's a mild panic here. I think that the ADP is a little bit of a mirage. I think he's a very safe player. I think that if he'd be a fine guy to have on your team, but I think that if you are able to sell him on name alone, you're going to be a little happy with that, just because I think that he's, I think he's very likely to kind of potentially reach by the end of the season in that 80 to 180 rankings. So he's kind of, he'll return your investment a little bit, but I think really what you're hoping to find when you're drafting is people that are going to be exceeding their rank, their draft position by a lot. And I think right now there's still that opportunity to kind of find guys that you can smash their value by 20, 30 spots. And I think if that is your goal, then I think it's probably best to look elsewhere.
Wow. Damn. Okay. Dang. I never thought we'd find ourselves here. I never thought we'd arrive at this moment where I have to,
makes me sad,
like, where I have to adamantly disagree with your,
love it,
with your, pessimism for OG Anunoby. Number one, and you did allude to this, I think it's very important. It's all relative to draft position. So we had a Yahoo ADP of 80. So you're looking at like an eighth round player. I did take him in the eighth round in a category league. You're right about the pecking order, but I think his ceiling games you're underestimating a bit. So let me just give you his last two box scores. So Detroit, 33 minutes. He had 21 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 threes, 2 steals, no turnovers. Perfect from free throw line, 53% from the field. Then today against Houston, 50% from the field, 2 or 3 from the line, 21 points, 5 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, and 2 dimes, and no turnovers. So I think those OG ceiling games are just going to be more few and far between in New York, but they're still there, and that's why he didn't go in the fifth round. He went in the eighth round. So I think if we just recalibrate expectations, which we did during draft season, I think you're still getting a value at ADP potentially. But yeah, if somebody's looking at him like he's still the OG of old, I think you could move him, but I wouldn't panic trade him. I think the last two games he's starting to turn things around, give a little bit more time. So I would say, Nate, pump the brakes on your panic for your boy. I think you're going to see more ceiling performances from him than maybe we thought when the season just was getting rolling.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a really like measured response there. I'm just thinking that there's no need to be fishing for a trade, but I'm just going to say be open to one is what I'm at. So if he fits better on somebody else's team, or perhaps he fits perfectly on your team, and that's fine too. But I think that he is more of a comp. He's just going to kind of complement your roster rather than be a building block.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say like if people think these last two performances are him getting back rolling to maybe being a top 40 player, he's a sell high just off these last two games?
Yeah, I think that he seems like one of those quintessential players, especially because he's that small forward, power forward eligibility that a lot of times people are really looking for type of player. So I think that those players get a boost come trade season, and so I think that there's a real chance there.
You know, Nate, we've been doing this long enough. I love seeing the ebbs and flows of where players go. You mentioned the small forward, power forward, so I thought of Franz Wagner, who has had some good games, but again, I think he looks like he may have been overdrafted. You know, OG Anunoby was a player we had to reach for in the fourth. So it's funny when you see these players kind of trickle down to like the eighth round and all of a sudden, like maybe they can be mild values. And then you have the new overdrafted players who will probably settle back down into, you know, as people realize the superstar potential might not be there. And I think potentially with Franz Wagner, we're looking at a future OG Anunoby, where in the right situation, he ends up being a like a high level glue guy that you can get in the seventh and it'll still have some spike weeks, but we're not paying for that breakout anymore. He becomes a pretty solid 17th round pick.
That's a really good comparison. I love Franz Wagner and hated the price you had to pay for him. But.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's go to the Orlando Magic and talk about a player you didn't hate the price that you had to pay. We're talking Jalen Suggs, baby. You know we are.
Jeez Louise.
My goodness gracious. So let's just give it the outline. He's 23 years old. It's his fourth season. His ADP was 102.6 on Yahoo. His per game ranks 16th. Totals, 6.
Wow.
92% rostered, so for what that's worth. But, man, my goodness gracious. So he's one of those late-round players. And, again, you know, Nate and I, he's one of our favorites. Like long season holds when people were kind of letting him float on and off waiver wires. We've been telling you to keep him, you know, as a season long hold last season. And, you know, that I don't think I saw this coming though, man. Like, I wanted to get him in every league I could, but the offensive leap, I don't think anyone could have foreshadowed this. Even in Pablo Banchero's 50 point explosion against Indiana, he still put up 25 points, 5 assists and 7 boards. So, you know, now he's a featured player for 4 to 6 weeks while Paolo's out. So it's an insane runway for a breakout. We'll just give you the numbers real quick because, you know, I just love to do it. So you're getting 17.4 points, 4.1 assists, 5.3 boards, 2.1 steals. And again, hashtag basketball has him finishing at 1.8 steals. I mean, he's going to be in the top 10 in steals. I mean, that's just what he does. Averaging 2.7 three-pointers. From the line, he's up to 87.5. I think that'll come down a bit. Not too much. And shooting 44.1 from the field. So you got to smash with Jalen Suggs. And if you ended up with him this year, it's like playing musical chairs. You ended up, you know, sitting in the right Suggs chair this season. Because, yeah, sometimes this happens and you don't always see it fully coming. But do you have any deeper analysis on why Jalen Suggs is all of a sudden able to put this offensive – surge into his fantasy profile? Like, did you think coming out of college he could be, you know, 18 points, 5 and 5? Where are you at on how real this feels? I have 5 out of 5. I have a material 5 out of 5. So where are you at on that?
Oh, 5 out of 5 without a doubt too. It is interesting, especially you were talking about guys that how their progression happens and then relative to expectations, because I mean, Suggs was kind of an interesting guy because he, coming out of the draft, he was supposed to be where, you know, he was supposed to be drafted by Toronto. Everybody had him as the number three player.
Number 4.
And was a 4, yeah. And I mean, I thought he was going to be, like, amazing right out of the gate. And then we kind of recalibrated what our expectations were. We're like, oh, okay, like, he is just a low-level point guard that's really good at defense and kind of a table setter. And then he's just slowly been improving. And this season, it's just been a monumental leap up. And especially with his efficiency, too. I mean, he's been picking the spots really well. And I mean, they've long just been like screaming for somebody to be a complimentative offensive player for that team. And so he's kind of taken into that spot. I will say I am a – I was pretty sad about the Paolo injury for a couple reasons. First off, I was really high on Paolo this year in fantasy. Second off, I love watching him play. I think he's a future stud. And I also think that it's going to hurt Suggs a little bit, because I think Suggs was, I mean, Paolo just soaks up so many eyeballs that Suggs was able to kind of operate in with a little bit more space. Right. And now, as you mentioned, he is now the guy. And we've seen on some of these recent games that they've been kind of queuing in on him a little bit, and his numbers, while still very good, have not been quite what they were, you know, to begin the season. And so I'm kind of expecting the numbers to tick down a little bit for the next few weeks, but then be able to come right back up again. So I'm a 5 out of 5. I'm right there with you. I do think it's going to be, I would say that if somebody has Suggs and it's a little rocky in 3 weeks,
yeah.
Now that's the time to hop in and try to buy low on him if that happens.
I would love an opportunity to buy low on Suggs. I do want to credit you. You're 100% right. It just popped in my head. Everybody thought that Suggs was going to go number three to Toronto when they took Scotty Barnes at three, and he fell four to Orlando. Or it could be four Scotty, five Suggs. Anyways, we're not looking at the draft board, but everybody expected Suggs to go ahead of Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes somehow wins Rookie of the Year when it should have been Evan Mobley, honestly. But yeah, I mean, he's still that guy. So, just looking at his box score, you're going to get some more, inefficient performances. He went 4 out of 13 against the Mavericks, but Cleveland, man. So, playing these underdog and shout out Chris Boucher in our league, taking him under my wing a bit, kind of talking about underdog strategies, doing these daily drafts, and he broke the slate. So he was a 6th round player, meaning like, you just tack him on at the end, and he just totally broke the slate. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, a block. 7 of 8 from the line, 10 of 20 from the field against Cleveland. You see at Cleveland on the schedule, and you think like they're a defensive minded team. Like, I don't think Suggs is going to put up ceiling performances. If he can do that against Cleveland with the defense keying out, the sky's still the limit, but it's going to be a little rockier probably from the efficiency department.
Yeah, love that one. Definitely material. So I got one and a half guys left here, depending on if we want to go into Washington after this. The next guy I have is Zion,
Wow.
who was ADP of 46 last year, ranked 41, currently 203 per game. And so what's going on there? His raw numbers are still strong. 21 points, 8 rebounds. Rebounds have come up, which is nice. 5.6 assists, 1.8 stocks, which is actually a career high for him.
Is he skinny?
But relative. I feel like it's all relative to like draft position. You're like, oh, this guy is getting a steal, and you're like, all right. If you saw that guy on the street, you'd be like,
Like,
that
did
dude
skinny
loves my chicken
Zion?
fingers.
Skinny Zion is a very relative term, but I guess he's, a little more athletic,
Right.
a little slim
Yeah,
down.
relative for sure. But this season he's averaging 44% from the field. He's a career 59% shooter. And while he's always bad at the line, he's shooting 62% on 9.4 attempts per game, which is bad even for him. That just single-handedly loses you that category, and 3.6 turnover. So
High calories,
it's
high
three
calories.
just kind of crushing categories there. But I do think that there's an opportunity with Zion here. But I don't think it's for everybody, but I think there is definitely an opportunity. I think part of this is that the Pelicans have been just so decimated by injuries. I mean,
Man,
it's been sad to see
shout
just
out to
that,
Pelicans fans going through it again.
you're in it for sure right now. What we were saying on our deep dive is perhaps the deepest team in the league, and that's really been tested and then some.
Yeah, no
So I
doubt.
think that some of it is just the lack of guard play. I mean, so you're gonna have CJ Murray, Trey Jones, or Trey Murphy and Herb Jones all coming back soon. And I think all once those guys come back in just a few short weeks relative to a whole fantasy season, there's going to be a lot more space is going to be opened up for Zion, which he needs. He
He does
needs
need
the
it.
space because he's going to be operating in there, and he's really wide, so he needs space,
Yes.
But I think also there's going to be ball handlers that can give him entry passes that can set him up when he's rolling to the basket. And so I think first off, though, that field goal number is going to come back up to what you expected. And so I think it's a great opportunity right now in a week, in 2 weeks, to have a trade for him to be a trade target. If you know what you're getting into, if you know that you're okay with the terrible three throw numbers, because that's not going to change. But if you can handle that, I think that it's a great chance to maybe to buy super low on him, which you may not get.
I love his inclusion in this list as I listen to you, and for this reason. If he fits into the punt build you have going, and somebody who has him didn't foresee the impact like Nate outlined, and they need to move him, you're going to get a value, just period, because you're going to be absorbing categories that you're going to further booster yourselves in, but you have to be punting free throws right now. The field goals are brutal, but like Nate outlined, I think you talk about a Milwaukee, then building a wall for Giannis. Right now, with no weapons in New Orleans, you got him barreling into people, getting offensive fouls. Like, he's not able to just go full like LeBron early Cleveland years. That's not his game. So, like, as more players come back, yes, I think the efficiency field goal percentage is going to come back up. He's going to have more opportunities. So, I wouldn't worry about the field goal percentage. In fact, if you're looking for a boost in that category, I think he's still going to be a target. But yeah, if you're punting turnovers and free throws and somebody is not, then yeah, he's worth a look because it's just so funny though, right? Like, we've had every incarnation angle of Zion at some point on this podcast, like, because he's such a hard player to get a read on. And throughout the season, it's going to ebb and flow so much. So he's a wild ride, but the upside is tantalizing if it fits your build. So take a look. Take a look at your structure. See the person who has them. Yeah, I love that. That makes sense to me.
Nice.
I do want to go to Washington. I
Okay.
do hope we can talk about a certain second year wing in Washington.
Cool. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was hoping to be able to talk about Koulibaly,
Yeah, Bilal Koulibaly.
and he's been spectacular so
Yes.
far. I mean, I think we were both pretty intrigued by him last year and interested in it. I at least thought that this breakout was a year away. I mean, I kind of
Yeah,
thought that
I do
we would
too.
be having this conversation next year, not right now, but he's currently the number 39 player in per game
It's
value.
unreal.
And a lot of it's happening on the offensive end, which
Right.
if you told me that he was number 39, I would have said that, oh, he must be leading the league in steals or blocks or like
Right.
some
And
combination of
outlier.
that.
Yeah.
Right. But really, I mean, it's 19 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 threes, which that I didn't know was part of his game. Shooting 61% from the field. It's been a great start of the season for him.
You just got to hand it to the Wizards for kind of nailing that pick. I feel like they traded down and took Koulibaly in the Wimby draft. Is that's right? Right. That was just last year. He's
Right.
a second year player.
Right.
And it turns out they saw something and he's ready a little before ahead of schedule. I mean, you look at the season so far and the fact that he is the 37th ranked player, but he's averaging 0.2 blocks. To me, that's tantalizing.
Wow.
Because we know, I mean, last year in 27 minutes a game, he was 0.9 steals, 0.8 blocks. I think he's going to end up being 1.5, 1.51 guy potentially with 3 steals and then blocks at one. The offense, how real is it? Well, I mean, Kuzma's out now, so there is more of an offensive vacuum. We know Kyle Kuzma's never been a shot he didn't like. So I do think that like the amount of shots he's getting could come down a bit, but man, like it's been impressive. And I was able to nab him in a points league. And yeah, I didn't, ex you still kind of get a little nervous if anyone plays in a format that's a weekly locking format where on Monday you have to choose your lineup and then that's your lineup for the week. Koulibaly, it's so early in the experience that it still makes you a little queasy thinking, okay, man, you're just going to get 4, 6, and 3 one day and you'll have to deal with that. But it's been really impressive. I would anticipate that, well, I don't know. Let give me your material or mirage on Koulibaly as far as where he's at top 40.
I'll go Mirage 3 out of 5. I think that I still am very intrigued by him. I am very into Koulibaly. I think that the shooting numbers, especially the 47% from three,
Right.
from a big man like that, is just going to come down. So I think that the offense is going to come down. Like you said, the defense is going to come up.
Right.
I think that he is going to be a very good, relevant player all season.
Yep.
But I would feel much more comfortable saying Mirage top 50, top 60. That I
Yes.
would think he's probably in that 80 range when it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I think it's kind of like, let's go back to second year of Suggs. I think there's flashes of the player coming, but this could be a little ahead of schedule for a reason, meaning we're seeing a flash.
Yes.
We're looking into the crystal ball, but yeah, I mean, he looks like he could be a future star.
You see more flashes. Do you see more flashes in 5 years? Who's the better fantasy player, Koulibaly or Alex Saar?
Oh man, I text you today because in our league record, the Nate Unclean drafted Sarr. I reluctantly picked him up. Well, not that reluctantly. I did it like midnight, like after midnight, when the waiver's clear. But man, what a weird profile. He's shooting what, like 27% from the field and leading the NBA in
Painful.
blocks. Like it's really wild. And then, with election night having no games tomorrow night, you have this crazy wonky schedule where every team in the league played tonight. And so I pick him up in the Monday game, like I take it or leave it. I have full roster. Then he plays again on Friday and again on Sunday. So I guess I'm bringing this up to say, hold on to Alex Sarr, even if you end up only using him once, because I do think he needs to be rostered, because if he's doing that this early, it's I think he has to be on a roster. So whether it's yours or someone else's, I wouldn't drop him in 5 years. Oof, it's tough because it's hard to get a read on Sarr. He didn't play, I didn't watch him play in college. I didn't, and he comes
Right.
over this in this bad draft and is the clear consensus number one until the Hawks take Rashaw. So yeah, I'm gonna go Coulibaly just because I have more film that I have watched. It's literally an enigma on Sarr. It's a friggin' enigma. That's a tough one. But I think Coulibaly in 5 years probably is a better NBA player, but the outline for Sarr is higher ceiling. So friggin' am. I guess I'm going
Yeah.
Sarr. I guess I'm going Sarr for ceiling. Sarr for ceiling.
Yeah, I have like yeah, I have so little like of a read on
I
Sarr. I
know.
watched
It's like
the
I'm
I
not gonna
watched
be
the
some
summer league game. I watched the summer league game, his good summer league game, and I didn't watch the
Right.
bad one. And then I've caught one regular season game where he played for 15 minutes and looked awful. Yeah, but I will say I do agree with your take. I think I will say that there's a 100% chance that he's on a roster every Sunday or Saturday. Because somebody's gonna be streaming them for blocks
Exactly.
at a minimum. So, yeah.
Having the number two overall pick leading the NBA in blocks means he's not a streamer. You know what I mean? Just because the potential is there. So, but man,
Oh,
just out of
yeah. Yeah.
curiosity, for
James Wyman.
was well, James Wiseman exists. I don't know if he ever was leading the NBA in blocks early, but how
I
dare
hope
you
not.
bring up Blunty? Out of curiosity, was that a like need to streaming games drop, or was that a I just don't want to deal with the field goal percentage issues drop?
Oh, that was I was like, let's just see what happens. Like I was like, I'm gonna throw a couple random darts at the end of the draft and maybe he's hot from three and he's a real player. He started cold and then I immediately just
Okay.
pivoted. Like because the there were so many good players on the wire at that
Right.
spot. I was like, I don't need to wait for
Right.
five games to see this. If somebody had a bad preseason and then started 2 for 9 the first game. I went and grabbed a Schroeder immediately.
Okay, it makes sense. So talking about builds, for instance, you're not really chasing the blocks category, are you?
Right,
For
yeah.
that team. So you have Sarr. What's the point when Dennis Schroder is available? That's smart. Cool. I like it. Well, this has been your Material or Mirage episode. Just something to bookmark. Keep in mind if there's a player that could fit someone else's roster better than yours, you could extract some value. And begin to think, what is it that you want your team to do well? Because you can't win nine categories a week. You only got to win five. So it's a good time of year to let your roster take shape. Use some of these hot starts to your advantage, whether it be moving a player or acquiring a player. But yeah, please keep in mind that we're going to be hitting you with more content coming forward. If you do like what you hear, please kindly rate, review, share, and subscribe. Please follow PTJ on Twitter, Projecting the Jump Pod. Follow me, Flying J, at Quantum Physics. And yeah, just enjoy the condensed schedule. Please use your moves wisely this week. There's going to be weeks in most category leagues where you're not needing, where there's going to be players you just don't start. So that's always kind of annoying. But I think it's a good week to stash for that reason. Instead of trying to squeeze like one game out, like on a Tuesday or Thursday, it's a good week to stash and see what you have.
Yeah, it does make it fun to like have that pinch to be like, all right, which guys am I benching tonight?
Yeah,
And
I know.
I just hope it's weird to root against your own guys
I know, but
occasionally.
you do because you want to be validated in your choice.
Exactly, yeah.
It's as we've all been there. All right, for Natron Clean, this is your boy Flying J, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Later.
Later.
Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. It's Nathan, Licky, and Jay. They're projecting the jump today. Will they guess right? Nobody knows. It's a podcast. It's about basketball. It's about coffee spots.